Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. Conversion to Christ and continual obedience to Him should be men's and women's top priorities. Unfortunately, these are not always high on our list of obligations and responsibilities. We tend to listen to the world and plan our lives according to the world's dictates. But life on earth must come to an end for every one of us. Then we will have to give an account for our lives. My friend, are you ready for that day? Our lesson today is designed to challenge the thinking of all who are not members of the body of Christ. My question to you this day is very simple. What are you allowing to hinder your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ? When you stand before the Lord in the judgment, will you be able to justify your failure to obey Him? As you listen to our biblical study today, please know that we are truly concerned for your spiritual condition. If there is any way we can assist you in your obedience to our Lord and Savior, please let us know. Acts 8 informs us that Philip the evangelist went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, Acts 8, 5 and 12. After Philip's preaching in Samaria, an angel of the Lord called Philip to arise and go toward the south under the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert, Acts 8, 26. Philip immediately obeyed the Lord's command and started toward Gaza. On his way, he met a man of Ethiopia who was Queen Candace's treasurer, Acts 8, 27. Luke tells us that the Ethiopian was sitting in his chariot and reading from Isaiah 53. Whether the Ethiopian was a Jew who was working for the queen or a black man who had been converted to Judaism, we have no way of knowing. Nor is it of any particular significance. We do know that the Spirit of the Lord told Philip to go join himself to the chariot in which the Ethiopian was riding. Philip was very eager to obey the Lord's instructions. He ran to the chariot and heard the eunuch reading from Isaiah. He asked the eunuch, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The eunuch replied, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Philip climbed into the chariot and sat with the Ethiopian. He was prepared to teach that which the Lord had sent him to teach. The scripture text which the eunuch was reading was as follows. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Acts 8, 32 and 33. The eunuch did not comprehend the meaning of the text and asked the preacher, "Of whom is the prophet speaking? Of himself or of some other man?" Acts 8, 34. The preacher, speaking by divine inspiration, opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. Acts 8, 35. When a gospel preacher has taught a man or a woman about Jesus, what is the natural response by the honest hearer of God's holy word? If a person really believes the gospel, is ready to change his life to harmonize with God's revealed will, what will he do to be saved? My friends, there is no point in our guessing about the answer. Please listen carefully. The eunuch heard Philip preach Jesus and ask, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Acts 8, 36. The eunuch needed to confess his faith in Christ and to be baptized for the remission of sins. The Bible says both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Philip baptized the eunuch. They both came up out of the water. The eunuch went away rejoicing, knowing his sins were forgiven, and he was a child of the living God. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, And he went on his way preaching. Acts 8:37-40. It is my sincere conviction that no biblical story of conversion is simpler or more impressive than this one from Acts 8. The various elements of the story are so easy to understand. It seems to me it would take considerable help from someone for a person to misunderstand the story of Philip and the eunuch. If you want to know what to do to be saved, where could you go in the book of Acts to find an easier to understand example of conversion? But this story was not recorded just for us to understand. It provides us with a great example of what we must do to have the remission of sins. If you have not obeyed the Lord's plan of salvation, I urge you to do that today. As I have already indicated, the question for our discussion today is the one the Ethiopian eunuch asked the preacher: what hinders me from being baptized? Is someone or something standing between you and your obedience to the gospel? Do you honestly believe God will accept your excuse for not doing what He has told you in His Word you must do to become a Christian? Please listen carefully to the excuses men have given and see if any of these apply to you. I'm not inferring that I know or will be able to discuss all the hindrances which men and women have allowed to keep them out of Christ. But I do hope that the ones I will discuss may furnish you some food for serious thinking. Probably in every age, there have been men and women who have postponed obeying the gospel because they claimed they did not have a sufficient knowledge of what God demands of them. Christians may be tempted to believe that scores of people refuse to obey the gospel because they are stubborn, hard-headed, and hard-hearted. Obviously, there are people who fall into these categories, and there always have been. But that does not explain the non-conversion of many people in our world. Some alien sinners refuse to become Christians because they do not know enough, or think they do not know enough, to obey Christ. My friends, some churches have not preached enough gospel so that those who attend their services or hear their radio programs have an adequate understanding of what it takes to become a Christian. In too many modern churches, there is too much emphasis on self-esteem, self-image, and positive thinking for the whole counsel of God to be preached in its fullness. How can churches justify going for weeks, months, or even years without telling people how to become Christians? Personally, I would be uncomfortable if I failed to say in every sermon what my listeners have to do to obey our Lord and to become His children. If people do not attend, or do not read their Bibles, or do not care, there is nothing we can do for them. We can preach the truth of God's Word as effectively as possible, pray for the conversion of the lost, but if they refuse to hear, to believe, and to obey, there is no way we can obey for them. We cannot force people, and should not if we could. Obedience must be of one's own free will. We must provide many opportunities for people to know and to do what God requires, but we must not manipulate or seek to manipulate others. Most of you who listen to this program today have been listening for many months and some for years. I have taught the truth of God's Word as simply and plainly as I am able. Can you plead ignorance for not obeying our Lord in baptism? If you have a Bible in your home, you can read and should read it for yourself. You can learn what it takes to become a Christian. Besides, how much do you have to know? If you know you are a sinner, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, if you know God's plan for saving men, what hinders you from obeying the gospel today? Do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you willing to turn from your sins and embrace the gospel of Christ? Will you confess your sins before men and before God, and be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, for the remission of your sins. If you are prepared to take these simple steps, you are ready to become a New Testament Christian. How much knowledge of the New Covenant did the people on Pentecost have? Oh, they knew God, and knew the law which God had given through Moses and the prophets. But they did not know the gospel until they heard the Apostle Peter and the other apostles preach it. That very day, 3,000 men and women obeyed our Lord in baptism and were added to the New Testament church. How many sermons did the Samaritans hear? The Ethiopian eunuch, Cornelius. One does not have to know all the great truths of the Bible. If he did, then no one could ever become a Christian. So please do not plead ignorance for failure to obey our Lord. Another hindrance to men's and women's being baptized into Christ is their almost total involvement in worldly affairs. Every preacher has heard over and over, "I am too busy to read the Bible, to attend Sunday evening and Wednesday evening services, or to visit hospitals and nursing homes." My friends, I am not downgrading the importance of a person's taking care of his family responsibilities. All of us have to work hard to comply with Paul's statements in 1 Timothy 5:8. "If any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." But is any kind of business or professional activity worth losing your soul? Some of the busiest people I have ever known have taken time to obey the gospel and to help in spreading the word of God to others. I'm reminded of a very faithful Christian in the city of Chattanooga. The elders of the church had announced a work day at the church building on a Saturday. Saturday happened to be a very busy day for that member who owned a prominent hardware store in Chattanooga. But this store owner could have sent one of his employees. He explained that he had an obligation to be present for the work, and nobody could do his work for him. Even though a very busy man, he took time to work for the Lord. My friends, if we are too busy to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, we should divest ourselves of some of our responsibilities and devote time to serving God. As all of you know, this is really a matter of having our priorities in order. If we love the Lord and want His divine approval, we are going to put Him first in our lives. Our Lord instructed His immediate disciples, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, food, clothing, and shelter, shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. Nothing in life is more important than worshiping our Heavenly Father and diligently working in His vineyard. Modern men often yield to family pressures which prevent their obeying the Lord in baptism. If one's parents, grandparents, or other family members are not members of the body of Christ, they may exert pressures to prevent one's obeying the gospel. I have known cases where men and women were threatened with disinheritance if they became members of the church. It will take great faith and courage on your part to obey our Lord if your family members strongly object to your becoming a Christian. Think of the persecutions from his own people Paul had to endure when he followed Jesus Christ. I'm not denying the importance of family ties. In fact, I have worked as a college teacher and as a gospel preacher all of my adult life to strengthen families, and I plan to keep doing so. But one's family must not be allowed to take precedence over his obedience to our Lord and Savior. If we love our father or mother, or son or daughter, or husband and wife more than we love Christ, we are not worthy of Him. Matthew 10:37. Fortunately, in most cases, we will not have to make a choice between Christ and family. But if we have to, we know what we must do. Sometimes uncertainty hinders men and women from obeying the Lord in baptism. The uncertainty has been created, whether intentionally or not, I'm not prepared to say, by teachers who either doubt or who deny what the Scriptures say about New Testament baptism. Some religious groups teach that we do not have to be baptized. If we require baptism, they say, we are being saved by works, not by the grace of God. But it was the grace of God which gave these words to Saul of Tarsus. And now, why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins. Acts 22:16. How can anyone read these plain words and not understand the necessity of baptism? Other religious groups make baptism a matter of total indifference. From their viewpoint, if you want to be baptized, that certainly is permissible. But if you prefer not to be baptized, that is all right too. Please answer a question for me. Is that the way baptism was presented to the Jews on the day of Pentecost? Did Peter give the Jews an option whether or not they should be baptized to receive the remission of sins? Peter's command from the Holy Spirit was, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. Could there have been any uncertainty on the part of the Jews as to what God was telling them to do to be saved? Can there be any uncertainty on your part if you want to obey our Lord? As you have seen in our lesson today, churches of Christ teach that baptism is essential to salvation. How can we know what is right and what is wrong? Does it matter what the truth is on baptism? My friends, if you want to know, please open your Bibles and study carefully and prayerfully what the Bible says on the subject. You do not have to believe what I or any other preacher says. Read God's book for yourself and make up your mind about your obedience to Christ. Please listen to two more passages from Paul's writings. Do you not know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. But God be thanked, that though you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:3-6 and 17 and 18. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:26-27. In view of these passages from God's inspired book, how can you be uncertain as to what God requires of you? Uncertainty can be removed if you study the Bible and obey its plain precepts. It is not unusual for those who are interested in the gospel to say, I'm not sure I could be faithful. I do not want to be a hypocrite. I can understand your fears about being unfaithful when you become a Christian. I suspect most of us have experienced such fears, not only before we obeyed the gospel, but afterwards as well. It is an awesome task to commit oneself to any philosophy or worldview for life. I'm not going to tell you that you will be faithful, but I am going to tell you that you can be faithful. How do I know that? Paul had almost certainly encountered this thought during his preaching career. Do you remember what he wrote to the Corinthians on this point? There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No one who understands New Testament Christianity is going to argue that following Christ is easy. Think of the sacrifices men and women in the first century had to make. Hundreds of thousands of faithful Christians were burned at the stake, or crucified, or tortured in other unimaginable ways. Please listen to Paul. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. 2 Corinthians 11:23-28. Paul discussed hardships in this great 2 Corinthian letter in both chapters 4 and 11. And then he added in chapter 4, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. If becoming a Christian and remaining faithful to our Lord did not require some sacrifices, would it really be worthwhile? No one can be faithful without the Lord's help, but no man has to fail. We all may fail because we do not take advantage of the Lord's help. But think of men like Peter, Paul, and Thomas. Could these men have made it without relying on the Lord's gracious promises? Peter assures us that we can be kept by the power of God through faith ready to be revealed at the last time. 1 Peter 1:5. Peter's first epistle recognizes the great hardships through which Christians have to go. But he tells us we can be faithful and we can receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to His faithful children. I've not tried to be exhaustive in outlining the reasons or excuses for men's and women's not becoming Christians. I have heard non-Christians say, "But I do not want to be a part of that church because there are too many hypocrites there." Or, "I can be just as much a Christian without joining the church as the people who are part of the church." These statements betray gross misapprehensions of what the church is and why everybody must become a Christian if he wants to be saved eternally. But my friends, there are no reasons for not obeying the gospel. You can give excuses by the dozens, but you cannot give a reason. Our Lord came to this earth, died on the cross, was raised for our justification, and ascended to the Father on high. He did all of this that you and I might become His children and live with Him forever. Can you not see what it means when you spurn the Lord's invitation and refuse to accept His gracious offer of salvation? You are treading underfoot the Son of God and counting the blood of the covenant wherewith you could be sanctified an unholy thing. Hebrews 10:28. Do you not know it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? Hebrews 10:31. The gospel plan of salvation is simple enough for anyone to understand it and to obey it. Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? The Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throng. These are the words of an old hymn. but they express the same truths I read to you a few minutes ago. Ananias asked Paul, "And now why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. If you have questions concerning our lesson today, or if there is any way we can assist you in your obedience to the gospel, please give us a call. We are concerned about your salvation and are eager to help you to come to know the Lord. Thank you for listening today. May God richly bless you.